I've never been really comfortable with the way that so-called Doubting Thomas has been treated. When I was growing up, Sunday school lessons tended to portray Thomas as the classic hard-headed cynic, the very personification of lacking faith. I remember being told that Thomas represented what we should not be like in Christian life, and also that people who were like him are bad examples. Now, I think it's regrettable that this dramatic gospel scene is most often limited to two basic interpretations. Either we should not be doubters, or, and I think more popular today, that doubts in themselves are not bad since they're necessary for spiritual maturity. Very often, some variation on one of those two truths is preached on this gospel. But surely there's more to it than only these truths. You see, the reaction of Thomas has always intrigued me, even as a child. The other disciples tell him that Jesus has appeared to them and has bestowed the Holy Spirit on them and sent them out into the world. And Thomas looks at them, sums up the situation for himself, and concludes that he just cannot trust their word, right? I think that this little confrontation between Thomas and the other 10 tells us at least as much about the 10 as it does about Thomas himself. And to be sure, it shows us something vitally important about ourselves. Now, here I'll interrupt myself to say that I think this scene suggests that Thomas may have been one of the most perceptive persons in any gospel story. Let me tell you what I mean by that. The 10 other disciples are always seen as the ones who believed and who were faithful to the reality of the resurrection. But were they? Were they really? Being right there with them, Thomas certainly didn't think so. Jesus has risen from the dead, they tell him, and he came to us. He bestowed God's Holy Spirit on us and told us to go out into the world and release people from their sins. I imagine Thomas standing there, looking at them, thinking about what they said. It was then that he began to wonder, I think, if what they said could be true. It absolutely fascinates me that maybe, just maybe now, Thomas could have thought, if all of this is true, then why are they still here, huddled and hiding in this room? Why? Why hadn't they gone? Why weren't they doing what he said to do? Perhaps these questions were just too much. Thomas simply couldn't believe them. It didn't make any sense for them to experience something like that, the risen Jesus showing himself to them. only to stay right where they were, as if nothing had happened to them. "No," Thomas told them, "I don't believe this. I'll have to see for myself." Then we're told that Thomas did see for himself, and he did believe. More than that, well-attested ancient tradition tells us that he went out into the world, all the way to India, where that ancient tradition holds that he founded a successful church in that land, still active and vibrant, the Martoma Church, still very much in relationship with Anglicans in India and across the world, the Martoma Church, named after Thomas. We should at least gather that Thomas, from the point of his confession that Jesus was his Lord and God, proved to be a faithful and tireless apostle. People came to belief because of what they heard from him and because of what they saw of the risen Lord in his own life. Thomas did not keep his experience of the Lord to himself. You see, it's not just Thomas's doubt in this gospel scene to which we might be compared. We might just as easily be compared to those other 10 who experienced the Lord and believed in him, but who, for whatever reasons, held back in some way from what Jesus sends his followers out to do. And the people of our day and time could easily be asking about us what Thomas might have thought about the other 10. That is, if what they say is really true, if they have experienced that Jesus makes a difference, then what are they doing about it? We cannot accept the stories they tell from their faith unless we see for ourselves what they are talking about. And that gives us our missional imperative to be public about our faith. This gospel story ends by noting that there are those who cannot experience Jesus as directly as did the apostles, and yet who are called to believe. Obviously, we are in that number. It is clear that such belief must come into the world through people's experience of the empowered church. The world around us is brimful of Thomases, isn't it? They won't believe in the Lord we proclaim unless they see him for themselves in our lives and through the real life ministry of the church. They most certainly won't believe if they see us simply huddled together, as if Jesus had not come to us. I don't think that we can be hard on them for that. My guess is they're simply looking for the experience of his presence, just like you and I do. And here's the miraculous, glorious, mysterious truth. In being true to Jesus' presence in this world, here and now, today, being true, we will find and know him in our very midst. And those we tell will know, because they know it when they see it. Amen.